from the Maize and Right Media Center. It's Straight Talk with DJ Hilson, your Muskegon County prosecutor. Straight Talk with DJ Hilson, an in-depth discussion on issues that affect you and your community. Sparking conversation, opening dialogue, and breaking down barriers. Have a question about crime prevention, subpoenas, silent observer, or about the law? Call 231-722-8338. It's Straight Talk. Straight Talk. With DJ Hilson. DJ
Hilson. Hey, good evening, Muskegon. It's kind of a dreary day today. It's warmer, I guess, but it's raining.
Yeah.
It's been kind of cloudy and rainy all day today, so, you know, we're getting closer. Spring is closer, but happy to be here again, live in the studio. Apparently, you know, Mickey got too friendly with me, so he got fired.
No.
Big Rob is on the board. I like Mickey. I thought he did a great job, but apparently somebody got nervous about losing his position, I guess.
No. Mickey actually went to go see his kids after he talked to you.
Oh, yeah.
He said, in case if I do something wrong, I know DJ just going to throw the book at me.
Right. Said, so
I better go see my kids now.
Getting his last chances in.
Yeah.
I get it.
Right.
I'll have to, next time I see him, I'll have to tease him about that.
How you been, DJ?
I've been good. Been good. Been busy.
Busy, yeah.
Been busy, but yeah. been real good. I mean, I can't complain.
What's going on down there at the county building?
Oh, man, we had a lot going on. You know, yesterday we had a big prelim. Jeffrey Willis's cousin, Kevin Bloom, decided to have his prelim yesterday, and it was revealed for the first time the statement he made to police quite a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember if it was May or June. It might have been June of 16. So that came out yesterday. So that was a big news day, a big day
right.
overall. So, you know, we're obviously moving forward in that case as well.
Right. Now, are you handling the Jeffrey Willis?
I'm handling Jeffrey's cases. I'm not handling Bloom's case.
Okay.
My chief trial handled that for me yesterday, just because Jeffrey Willis is a bundle of joy to try to, you know, mess around with. So, you know, I passed on Bloom.
Don't want no mistakes, huh?
No mistakes. No mistakes.
Because if it is, you're going to have to answer for it anyway.
One way or the other, I got to answer the question, so I might as well, you know, be the one that's going to make any of the mistakes, that's for sure. So.
But knowing you the way you dance around here, you dancing in that courtroom like it ain't no joke.
Listen, especially in that case,
yeah.
or cases, I should say, those are very serious.
Very serious cases.
I will probably end up... You know, hunkering down in my office for at least a month as I put that together as we get closer to the day.
You got to prepare that far ahead for a case like this?
In a case like that, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one that you just can't do. You know, typically I can take a week or a week and a half and put something together. This one is not that case. There's just so much information, so many little pieces. That you don't want to forget because every little piece matters and counts. And so you do have to take the time and energy and effort and spend the time and succinctly and thoroughly put it together.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can only imagine. That's a big deal for you guys down there. What else is going on?
Just coming off of M being a co-MC at Dancing with the Local Stars.
Oh, that was.
Yeah, it was Thursday, Friday, two shows on Saturday. And,
oh, wow.
So I was asked to join, the host that's been there, I think since the beginning, Stacy Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
So I was her co-host this year. I had a blast.
Did you dance?
I grooved it a little bit. Absolutely. I mean, it's hard not to. I mean, you know, with all that music being played,
right?
It kind of takes over your body a little bit. And, you
right.
know, next thing you know, you're tapping your toe and you're wiggling your hips a little bit, and you know, it's a lot of fun. I mean, plus, you know, you get to really kind of let loose and have fun and crack a few jokes here and there, and
right.
you know. And that to me is just a good time. And, you know, they raised, at least initially, you know, just from the nightly total. So they collect money every night.
Right.
And just from the four nights, mm-hmm. Four shows, I think they collect over $60,000.
Wow.
And that's not counting the sponsorships and everything else.
Right,
and so
right.
The what they call is the big reveal lunch, where they reveal the total amount that they're going to be able to donate to all the food pantries here in town. That'll be in April, and so I'm looking forward to going to that lunch and hearing how everything went.
Do they have a list of who gets the,
yes,
the money, which food pantries?
Yeah, and I can't remember, but they do have a list that they lay out. I think it's four or five, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
You know, last year they made $110,000 that they could give to food pantries.
Oh, wow.
And so I know that, you know, every year you try to beat last year, so hopefully,
right.
You know, and I won't say that I had a lot to do with it, but maybe, maybe, you know, just a small part of me being there, just urged people. Or maybe it was when I said, listen, either you're giving money or you're going to jail. I did say that a couple of times.
You did? Did you break out with your rap?
I did not. You know, in fact, you know, I saw, you know, obviously, Meehan or Q, whatever he's going by these days, I don't know. He's like Prince. He's got a sign. He's just a sign.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to him, a couple weekends ago, cause my son, was the, courtside announcer for the Lakehawks, last Sunday? Two Sundays ago.
Mm-hmm.
At their home game at Reese Puffer, and so Meehan and I were talking, and he suggested, you know, me trying to jump on, be a collaborator or a cohabitant, if you will, on Mickey. I guess Mickey Wallace has got something going on. And,
yeah,
you know,
he's got several songs out.
So perhaps maybe he would be so inclined to, you know, either A, assist with some lyrics, or, you know, let me be, you know, it's like, you know, Mickey Wallace featuring.
You don't mind having a ghostwriter.
So I get like, you know, couple of seconds. Usually when those are, you know, usually when they feature an artist, you know, like, you know, the big artists is when they're working together, that artist gets maybe a couple lyrics, and then they're forgotten about. So, you know, I'm game, man. I know I keep pestering poor Meehan about, you know, laying some music down,
mm-hmm.
You know, getting some lyrics. I'm ready to lay a track down.
I'm
ready to lay it down. Let it debut. On 103.7.
Right here.
Right here. 103.7, the beat. Let it debut here. And then, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, sky's the limit at that
sky's
point.
Sky's the limit after that.
Yeah, looking forward to, you know, some big record producer going, that he's got some sound to him. He's got some emotion. You know, he's really, you know, he's got a lot of things going.
Yeah.
We need to sign him to a multi-million dollar contract.
You'd be okay with that?
Hey, look, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know, if you got it and they want it, then it's for sale.
You give it to them.
It's for sale as far as I'm concerned.
Now, is the Child Abuse Council going to be down at, what is it,
Railroad
this
yes.
year? Because I know all that stuff's getting ready to
yes.
come up.
Oh, yeah, they've been working on it, for quite a few months now. So, yeah, all that stuff is going to come back up, and I know they're working very diligently on it, and yes. Child Abuse Council will have a presence again downtown,
mm-hmm.
Third weekend in July.
Okay.
So we're looking forward to that. Looking forward to, you know, having all that tourism come into Muskegon. And, you know, as always, it's usually a pretty safe and sound. Well, the sound is pretty loud because there's a lot of Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
usually pretty safe down there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, really safe.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. And so, and this is our third year involved in that endeavor. So
the River Road stuff.
Yeah.
Now what about, what's anything new as far as laws coming out or coming down the pipe that maybe you want to make Muskegon aware of?
Sure. I mean, we could talk about, I mean, tomorrow, we got a busy day tomorrow. I'm going to be in Lansing, I think, pretty much all day.
Okay.
There's a couple of things that I'm actually going to be testifying in front of a couple of a House committee, and then later on in the afternoon, a Senate committee. The House committee is considering a series of bills that started in the Senate, and it's a lot of criminal justice reform bills,
mm-hmm.
Stuff dealing with how the state will handle probation. There's a bill in place that, or a bill being proposed that would allow a probation officer, if that officer felt it necessary, to petition the court after a probationer had served half of their probation term, and they would petition the court for an early discharge.
Oh, okay.
And the court would consider that, so there's a bill up for that. There's a bill up involving how courts are going to be able to, or how courts are going to be somewhat mandated to handle technical violations. So, you know, if you're on probation and you violate probation, let's say by missing an appointment, you're not necessarily breaking the law.
Right.
So we call that a technical violation.
Right.
And so this statute, this proposed bill, is going to be kind of dictating how judges can handle that. And the idea is it's going to be far less strict than, you know, essentially being able to revoke them and whatnot. So it's really taking into consideration the fact that the violation isn't a violation of law. It's, you know, it's one of those sometimes oops violations,
right,
or, you know, person just, you know, hasn't had that discipline wired in them quite
right,
correctly.
Right, right.
So it's a way of, you know, lessening the blow coming back, if you
right,
will.
Right.
Trying to think of there. I mean, there's probably about 25 different bills up tomorrow in this committee, and
for criminal justice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I'll be at noon tomorrow. I'll be in front of the that committee, offering my 2 cents on that on behalf of the Prosecuting Attorneys Association of Michigan. I've been working on these bills actually since they were proposed in the Senate last year. So I've been intimately involved in making sure that, you know, not only is the spirit of the bill doing what it's supposed to, but also making sure that we're also keeping the victims and public safety in mind as well. Prior to me coming here today, I was on a phone conference with my peeps, and we were going over that, and everything looks pretty much okay. You know, I'm looking forward to kind of giving it, at least from our perspective, the green light.
Right.
And so being asked to do that. And then later in the afternoon at 3:00 tomorrow, I'm testifying in front of a Senate committee on some new truancy bills that are being introduced in that committee, and certainly going to go and weigh in on those and hopefully convince that committee that they need to vote those out of committee and onto the floor for some voting and then moving on into the hopefully final approval. So we'll see. I got a busy day tomorrow, man.
No court tomorrow, huh?
No court tomorrow for me. Nope. I'll be in the court of public opinion and these bills that are up at noon, these criminal justice reform bills are really big news. You know, it's part of the governor's mission on trying to create a smarter criminal justice system. And so, I'm pretty excited that I've been a part of this from the beginning.
Right.
And have been able to offer some insight and input from the prosecutor's perspective, which a lot of times legislators don't have that perspective.
Right. Right.
And giving them kind of what I think might be reality implications on passing such bills. So, I mean, you know, it's a job that, you know, I kind of not fell into, but was assigned to early on, when I joined the association, and has really enjoyed being a part of that process, because it's, you know, when you talk about changing the criminal justice system, you know, we're
right.
talking about some, you know, maybe not necessarily huge sweeping changes, but they're significant enough where it's going to have all the stakeholders, their eyes and ears on that committee tomorrow. So.
Right. Now, is any of the truancy things that you've been doing, been able to do here in Muskegon, is that going to be introduced also, the effectiveness or non-effectiveness of any of that? Are you taking any of that data with you?
I'm going to talk about that tomorrow in front of the committee, and I have in the past, but I'm going to talk about that in front of the committee tomorrow. And what I've really appreciated, and I've worked on these bills too, is that, and I indicated in our little stakeholder groups and talking even to the senator that proposed this legislation, that all I cared about, one of the things I really cared about, was that it did not disrupt the program we had going on in Muskegon. I didn't want state legislation to somehow put a curveball in what we started, you know, quite a few years ago. Basically, I've been assured and I've seen the language, and it won't affect, you know, what we've got going on. In fact, it'll probably just enhance it a little bit for us.
Oh, okay.
So, which is good. And that's why, you know, I've always supported that legislation. I just think it's really, really important.
Now, I'm trying to remember, is there a drug court in Muskegon?
We're working on it. Okay, we're working on it. Not okay. yet. Now, we're
it's
working.
A vet court.
There's a vet court. There's a sobriety court. Yeah. We've got a mental health court. But yeah, we're working on a drug court, put together a team of people and, looked at, you know, kind of brainstorming and how it would look here in Muskegon. And we actually did apply for some federal money, and that application was due, mid-December. So we submitted that. We also, I think, submitted another application, for some additional money, just recently. And so we're waiting on hearing back as to whether or not we're going to get awarded that money.
Oh, okay.
You know, I've been told, or it has been suggested to me, that even if we don't get the money, there are some groups here in town, or some agencies here in town, that want to have a further discussion on how we might be able to sustain a drug court model even without federal dollars. So, yeah, we're working on it. I think it's a much needed component here. The big thing for me is, you know, making sure that the treatment aspect of it is top notch,
right.
Because I know we have some treatment options here, but I want to make sure that the treatment options that we're able to offer any participant in this court is going to be, you know, something that is actually going to produce some positive results.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, for me, and the reason why I believe in a lot of these specialty courts is, it truly focuses on making the person better when they leave as opposed to when they enter.
Right.
My eyes have been wide open to that ever since, we started the vet court here in Muskegon. I've seen it, sobriety court's the same thing. You see the people change their way of life, and how they look at life. And so to me, drug court is no different. It's just battling a different demon.
Right.
A different addiction, if you will.
Right.
And so I'm really, really looking forward to that, having that opportunity here anyways. So we'll see. I mean, you know, we got a lot of good, positive, proactive stuff happening here in town, I'm really excited about, you know, those possibilities.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that you still working vigorously on that, you know, because I know that's something we need here.
Absolutely.
Very much so. I mean, with the addictions and everything else and stuff. Also, speaking of drug court and things like that, I know we had a big issue with heroin overdose.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still having
we're still battling that. We're still really battling that. And, we're trying, you know, there's a lot of us that are trying to keep that on the forefront of everybody's head, including those folks in the medical field. One of the things that I'm looking forward to, working with, another group of individuals, from different agencies. We had this discussion a couple Fridays ago, as a matter of fact, that we're probably not for this school year, but for next school year, we're working on a, education model, that we can bring into schools and present. And it's not going to be your typical police officer, prosecutor standing there telling you, you know,
right,
drugs are bad. This
right
is what is going
right
to happen to you
right
if you do drugs. This is the this is all the prison you're going to do.
Right.
I'm really excited about actually sitting down with this group, because it's individuals that I've really never worked with before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting at, you know, what message are we going to be able to send that kids are actually going to listen to and receive.
Right.
And it's not me standing up there telling them what to do and not do.
Right.
I mean, it's just not. They're going to look at me like, hey, listen, old man. Even though I'm very young and handsome. Might I add.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yes. Specimen, if you will. But it's really figuring out, okay, we need to have a message. Because the message is very important.
Right.
the message is, do not, I guess, don't go down the path of throwing your life away at an early age.
Yes.
And if we can send that message that kids will actually listen to.
Right.
And really take heart, you know, they still may end up making some dumb decisions.
Right.
But if we can implant that message, and at least give them the tools to maybe think twice, that's what I want to do.
Right.
And so, you know, we had a very preliminary discussion a couple of weeks ago on this, and I really liked some of the ideas coming out of the, out of this group. And so, you know, I think we're going to start really working on it end of March. And like I said, the plan I think will be to hopefully have something in place where we can at least present it to the superintendents and the principals maybe prior to the start of the 17-18 school year, and give them an opportunity to plan for it. And so I'm excited about that.
Do you think reality is too much for the kids, or do you think?
Well, I think adult reality is too. You know, because if you think about it, back when you were that age, you know, and I'm talking like your middle school, high school age kids,
yeah.
You know, and I remember reading this in one of my psychology books in college, but you have that air of invincibility,
right?
Like, hey, listen. It may be happening to over there, but it's not happening to me because I'm me.
Right.
And I, you know.
This could never happen to me.
It could never happen to me. Or, you know, I can, they can't handle that alcohol or that drug, but I can.
Right. Right.
And so I think the idea is to bring it down to their level and show them, you know, whether it's kids their own age or young adults who are just barely out of that high school age,
yeah.
Where, yeah, you know what? I felt the same way you did, but here's what happened to me.
Right.
And it, to me, that peer to peer conversation is much more effective than, you know, me going into a school and having an assembly and let's talk about why drugs are bad.
Right.
Again, it's looking at me going, hey, listen, dude. I mean.
You don't go through what I went through. You never had to deal with this.
Right,
you didn't have to deal with that.
You didn't have all the social pressures, which isn't true. I mean, we all go through that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care who
some
you are.
Some sort of it. Yeah.
We all go yeah, through that
absolutely.
Growing up. I mean, it's all part of the package. It's all part of, you know, life's lessons, if
oh,
you
yeah,
will.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you know, and how you handle that. Well, I mean, it's hard to even predict how you handle that because even kids that grew up in suburban homes with moms and dads and, you know, had pretty much, you know, whatever they wanted still fall prey to this stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it doesn't matter where you live, your socioeconomic status, none of that matters.
Right.
All that matters is that you make that one bad choice.
Right.
And then next thing you know, you can't get out of that hole.
Mm. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think the kids are dealing with a lot of different things that we weren't dealing with, you know, with the advent of the internet and things like that. I think they're dealing with a lot more than what we were.
You know, I don't know. We may have talked about this already program,
yeah.
but in fact, I think last week we talked about that.
Yeah.
Or last time I was here, I should say, we talked about that. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, what it's like with the way that kids communicate with one another.
I just
it blows me away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
You know, it's funny because just recently I got in a little trouble with this from my wife, but I purchased the Family Ties, which was one of my favorite shows.
Uh-huh.
Love Family Ties growing up. So I've slowly introduced this to at least the older boy.
Right.
But you know, it's so funny because I I've got a vision of what Family Ties was growing up, and we're only like three episodes in on season one, and like the third episode was all about Alex Keaton and his first time.
Uh-huh.
And my wife and I and my older boy are watching this, and I'm watching this, and my wife's got like wide eyes. Should we be watching this with you? You know, so even back, and this is back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yep.
and I'm thinking, oh, what have I done?
But you know what? either we sit down and we if we watch a program like this,
yeah,
with our children,
yeah,
at least we can have a conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
With our child.
And that's exactly because
the internet, if they just press,
oh yeah,
certain four word letters,
yep,
they can get all they want.
Yeah, I agree.
Without us even knowing.
I agree.
Unless we go and check the history, you know, but it's not like as a parent, you don't always have time to go check your child's history on this, iPad or computer or something. Like, you don't always have that time. Like you're getting prepared for a big case.
Yeah.
You can't lose, you know? So if you don't have time to do it and your wife is busy doing other things and stuff and you forget, I would much rather sit down with my child and we have that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And at least it was clean.
Yeah. No, and it was. I mean, it you know, it basically left it up to interpretation.
Yeah.
You know? It wasn't like today where you might get a little bit of the scene itself. It was, you know, lean in, kiss, lights go out. Next day, you know, he's like feeling like he's on top of the world. And you know, as an adult, you're like, okay, I know what happened. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it certainly did spark a mini conversation hey boy, don't even think about it.
Let that be for a while.
Let that be.
I've had that conversation with my now 13-year-old son and all my other sons too, but yeah, I always look for opportunities like that to have a conversation with my children about it, you know. Whether I think it's over their head or not, at least I want them to know it's okay. Let's talk about it.
Right.
You know, let's have that conversation. But yeah, it's good you're doing that though.
Yeah. Honestly. I mean, look, I mean, it is, like I said, I mean, to me, there aren't too many family shows on TV these days.
Nope.
And that one just always struck a chord with me. I loved it. And so to me, it was worth the investment. My wife didn't think so, but, that's okay. That's a topic for another day.
Now, in the criminal justice system, people, sometimes look at police and prosecutors as just being, lock them up. Mm-hmm. And I know I've heard you say this several times. That's not really what you do. You're there to enforce the law, but you understand a lot. What makes that your theme of everything?
Well, I mean, I just think that it's recognizing and understanding a little bit of human nature. I mean, obviously there are laws on the books, because if there weren't, we'd have anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have anarchy.
Right.
We've got to have some order.
Right.
But thankfully, you know, with that order, the law also gives us prosecutors some discretion.
Right.
In other words, we are not mandated where if you do this, this is going to happen to you, and
right.
I have no discretion whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, I would never advocate that we lose our discretion.
Right.
And there's good and bad in that. There's pros and cons. I mean, because some people can abuse that discretion, and that's going to happen. But
yeah.
It's better than, to me, that's almost better than, you know, you do X and Y is going to happen to you.
Right.
And I don't get to consider, are you in school, you know, what kind of background do you have?
Right.
Was this a one-time deal? I don't get to consider all that, because it's this happens and this is what's going to, the consequences.
It's all cut and dry.
And so for me, it's really recognizing the power of that discretion, and using that in the best way that I can in order to accomplish the final outcome, which is that a lesson is learned and that hopefully it'll never happen again. And that, you know, so you, I'm dealing with that with this very large population of people,
right?
who some I know, but a lot I have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
And so I rely on pieces of information that I can get in order to make that, you know, make those critical decisions. And some make it very easy. I mean, look, you go out and you shoot somebody, that's an easy decision for me.
Right.
We're just not going to have that here in this town.
Right.
And so I'm going to throw the book at you.
Right.
Right? You know, but that's a very small part of what we do on a daily basis.
Right.
I mean, a lot of it is, you know, little Johnny or little Susie made a mistake. You know, it was criminal in nature. Now what are we going to do?
Right.
How best can we, you know, have the consequence, but also hopefully teach a lesson at the same time? And to me, that's my philosophy. That's the way that I approach things. And I even did that when I was an assistant prosecutor. I mean, I always tried to take into account a person, mm-hmm. and what qualities they had and what they were bringing to the table. I mean, if you were trying to make, you know, a difference in your life, if you're trying to do the right thing and you got caught up in something, you know, I'm going to take that in consideration compared to, you know, you don't give a crap, and you're just going to continue to be, you know, a menace, if you will, to society. Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to react to that too.
Right.
But it's not going to be the same as I react to the first person. So.
Right, right.
So yeah, I mean, it is, you know, and to me that, whether that's our role or not, that's the way that I see the role.
Right.
That there's a balance.
Right.
And so that's how I envisioned when I came in the office, and that's how I'll be until I leave office.
Right.
I mean, that's just, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong. That's how I'm doing it.
Right. Now, I do want to ask you something, maybe a little tough, and I don't know if you can answer it, you know, cause you know. Why, not cause you don't know, I don't know why I said that, cause you do know. I don't know. But anyway, why does the law look at if a parent locks a child in a room
mm-hmm.
with bars
mm-hmm.
on the windows
mm-hmm.
because this child has been defiant, won't do what the parents say, all that kind of stuff, lock them in the room,
mm-hmm.
go to school, or get homeschooled, they're only out for an hour a day, okay?
I know where you're going with this. Go ahead, finish.
But the child, if they go out and commit a crime,
sure,
they can be locked up for 24 hours a day.
Sure.
And not let out necessarily,
yeah.
you know, or watch television or any of this stuff. Why is it different in the law's eyes for a parent who has a from what I understand, a parent invests $1 million in each child?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, almost. It was, I don't know if you ever seen
I
that.
I saw that, yeah. I saw that. There was an article in the Chronicle not too long ago about that, how much
right.
your children cost.
Right. And from the parent's aspect, I'm looking at it from my aspect, you know, if I did that, I feel I'm going to jail or being looked at as a
well, look,
child neglect.
Yeah, sure. And you know, there is this gray area, the squishy area when it comes to parental discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are a lot of different agencies that look at that. You know, as you indicated, there's the Department of Health and Human Services. They
mm-hmm.
look at it not necessarily from the criminal perspective, but all from more of a family court perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you doing something to this child that is causing harm to them, whether it be physical harm or mental harm? And I can't remember all the other
right.
language, but okay, so we're looking at it that way. Or from my perspective, I'm looking at it saying, are you doing something that's criminal in nature? And again, it comes back to that discretion. You know, CPS may look at that and say, well, we're going to investigate that because we think there may be some wrongdoing here. I may look at it and say, okay, CPS, you go ahead and do that, but I'm not seeing anything criminal here yet.
Right.
Now, your investigation may reveal something that later on, you know, I deem to be criminal, but right now, that's not criminal. And a lot of times, they may do a quick investigation and it goes unsubstantiated,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, it's closed and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's hard to answer that question because, you know, certainly, you know, locking a child in a room, if you're depriving them of food or, you know, as a parent, you still have to nourish your child. And that nourishment certainly includes food,
mm-hmm.
but it also includes affection.
Mm-hmm.
Because this has been studied a lot, if you're not affectionate with your child, the child will mentally start developing in a way that you don't want them to develop.
Right.
Because they have to have that nurturing. And if you are neglecting them in that nurturing, that's a problem. You are harming that child. And so I have no problem with somebody stepping in and saying, hey, look, we got to do something here. Your method, although in your own mind you may think this is how I'm going to do it, is not healthy for that child. We need to talk to you about that. We need to fix that. And think of an alternative method in doing that. You know, for me, you know, parental discipline, I'm fine. And I've, you know, I have people ask me this all the time. And when I go to churches, that's like the number one question on people. Well, if I hit my child, you're going to lock me up. No, not necessarily. I'm a big fan of parental discipline.
Right.
And then it's a judgment call as to when that crosses the line from discipline to abuse. And there's no magical formula on what that is. But you know, you just rely on your years of experience, and you know, for me, it's my as a growing up as a child myself, and as a father, and you make a call. Hmm. So,
but I know some parents sometimes have an issue. Even they just at their wits' end.
Sure.
And a lot of times I hear a lot of mothers saying, "Well, I've called the prosecutor's office. I've called the police department. Nobody can do anything about it until he commits a crime. Well, I can't get no help." At least that's what I've heard.
Sure.
But they will lock him up in a room and keep him there for 23, 24 hours a day and won't care about him being nurtured or anything else like that. You know, one lady brought up the case of the 13-year-old who was playing wrestling and killed the girl long time ago and stuff like that. Child has since been released from prison. Mm-hmm. But he was locked up in a room 24 hours a day. Well, Why isn't there no concern with his mental stability then? You understand? Does that make sense?
I get that.
There's no logic in that.
Sure.
To me. It says, okay, I can't do it, but you, the big bad state, not you, DJ Hilson,
but
the state or the laws that is in place can lock him up and not care about his mental state, not care about if he's getting loved or anything else like that.
Sure.
No, but I know somebody who knows that kid personally.
Yeah, no, and I get the concern. I get the concern. The difficulty is what's the alternative? I mean, when you go to the extreme and you take somebody else's life, you know, there has to be a significant consequence for that.
I agree.
And the law dictates that. And
right.
Whether, you know, you are, you know, an adult or a child, you know, it's obviously a little bit easier for an adult as compared to a child, but, you know, we still have to, there's still that element of protecting the public.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that child or that adult is going to go and hurt other people, I mean, we don't know, but we have to at least provide some aspect of public safety when it comes to that. And
well, that's what the parents say they're doing.
True.
I'm doing public safety because if I let my child out for an hour, he gonna go rob somebody or he might run away again.
Sure. And I get that, and those are difficult decisions, and I'm certainly not here telling people what's right and what's wrong.
No, I'm not.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. We're having a conversation.
Yeah.
Right. No, I get that. I mean, you know, and I don't know. I mean, for me, I've never been in that situation, so it's hard for me to put myself in that situation. Because I can tell you that if I had a child that was that difficult, I don't think I would be locking him in a room. I just wouldn't do that. And where I would go and where I would turn to as far as resources, you know, I don't know that calling the prosecutors, because we don't, that's not the service we provide. I mean, I'm happy to talk to people, but that's not the service we provide. If it's a mental illness issue, then there are agencies here in town that can deal with that. If it's more than that, then let's figure out from the medical perspective what's going on. So there are avenues to go than just calling the police or calling the prosecutor's office. And, you know, certainly, you know, we're blessed to have 211 in this county that deals with some of those issues. And so instead of calling 911, you can call 211 and say, "Look, this is the problem I got. Is there an agency that you know of that I can turn to that might help me figure out what the heck's going on?"
Well, me personally, I usually, you know, that's just me. I was wondering from a law standpoint, how is that possible? The state can lock them up for 23 hours a day.
Sure.
And say it's for public
safety.
Because but I can't lock them up for my own safety because I'm afraid this little so-and-so may come in my room and blow my brains out.
Well, look, I mean, I, again, you were talking about, now you're changing the scenario.
Yeah, I'm just saying schematics, you know.
But if that's your concern, then locking him in the room isn't the answer. I mean, you got to go deeper than that. You've got to get to the root of whatever that issue is. And you know, locking him in a room isn't going to solve that. That's probably only going to make it worse. And so that's where you have to seek professional help. You know, the state, by law, has to lock people up. if they mm-hmm. if they break the law. If a judge says, you know, this is your sentence, the state is obligated to take that person and hold them for that period of time.
Well, I tell parents, quit trying to be your child's friend.
Well, that's,
and then your child would have some respect, level of respect for you. I planted in my kids' heads, long in their hearts, I will mess you up. You
yep.
disrespect me or your mama.
Yeah.
And as old as my kids are and as big as they are, they don't swear in front of me yep. or their mother. They do it. We know they do it.
Sure.
I did it.
Yeah.
But in front of your parents,
yeah.
you don't do, period.
Right.
I'm not your friend. I'm your parent.
Right.
You know, we can sit down and have a conversation about anything. But first of all, I'm established when you coming out your mama's womb.
Yeah.
We're not friends.
Right.
I'm your parent. I'm
right.
your father. And this is your mother. And that's what I that's the advice I give them. Quit trying to be their friend.
No, and I think that's sound advice, because we run into that more often than not. In my position, we're running
right.
into that where, you know, there are no boundaries.
No, no.
And because they're worried about, you know, well, they're not going to like me anymore. Well, that's...
I don't care.
You know, it's so funny. And this comes up in truancy all the time, and we have these parents that are saying, you know, you won't get out of bed to go to school. Well, you're the parent. You grab them by the ear and you say, it's time.
Yeah.
You're going to school. Get yeah. out of bed.
I know. You know what I did with my boy? I can tell it now. I think I'm past the statute of limitations. I used to throw cold water on him.
Nice.
You ain't getting up. Oh, okay. I got a bucket full of ice, and I let it sit.
Yeah.
I let him sleep good,
yeah,
make
yeah.
sure they got the covers
yeah,
all
yeah,
over
yeah,
them and
nice
stuff.
Nice and tight.
And I just dump cold ice water on them, wake them up. Because this is what you're not going to do.
Right.
You know, and the only time I've ever, you know, I see parents trying to drink with their kids and all that crap. My kids, as old as they is, at 21,
mm-hmm.
I'll take them, I'll give them, this is my illusion in my head.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure they probably had a few drinks before.
Right.
Daddy took them to the bar and bought them their first
yeah.
drink.
Yeah.
That's the only time we're going to drink together.
Yeah.
And I'm going to drink my drink with you. Hey, congratulations. You're 21. Do your thing.
Yeah.
Don't drink and drive. I'm gone. You know, something like that, right? That's the only time.
Yeah.
I don't sit around in as old as my, I got three boys that's old enough to drink. I don't sit around and drink with them.
Yeah.
They don't sit around and drink with me. They
yeah.
will not drink in front of me because I didn't drink in front of them.
Right. Right.
You know, and I tell these parents, quit being your child's friend.
Right.
If they dislike, my daughter don't like me right now. She hates my guts. Because I'm who I am.
Sure.
I'm the protector. I protect her.
Right,
and
right.
I don't like boys being around her and all that stuff. That's okay. That's fine. But you know who to call.
Right.
You know, you ain't got to worry about that. So that's my advice. I tell them to quit being your child's friend. And when you tell them to do something, they don't do it. You can do what you got to do.
Right. Absolutely.
They're not saying don't discipline your child. They're saying don't beat them up.
Right.
You
yeah,
know,
I mean,
just
really
don't beat them up.
Right.
Because I told my kids, on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 o'clock, I'm whooping you. I don't care whether you did something or not. And I tell people that to this day. I whoop kids on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock, bring them by the house. I do it. Do this service for free.
Public service.
Public service. I don't have a problem with you. You ain't got to pay a dime. Just bring them.
Right, right.
Dang, I don't even want to know what they did. We
yeah.
just going to whoop them and send them on their way, you know. But, you know, and I'm and honestly, DJ, I mean, the law sometimes I think it took away that threat, that fear of God that
mm-hmm.
kids in my community had
mm-hmm.
of their parents.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? You knew if you did something wrong, the community going to discipline you with a whooping, probably
mm-hmm.
with a belt or a switch
yep.
or a racetrack or extension cord, whatever the
yep.
case may be.
Yeah.
I know the law looks at it as abuse, but that is not what made me do my bad things. What made me do my bad things is trying to fit in.
Sure.
And I think, honestly, it ain't the whoopings or what we call whoopings in my community
yeah.
is what makes the child do bad things. And I don't care what the psychiatrists and all that other, the mother people say. I know plenty of people who got whoopings growing up. That's my age.
Sure.
We got it in school. The principal
yep.
got you. You know, I don't know. In the urban black communities, we had teachers and principals that had paddles. Me and my wife was just talking about this the other day, about how they had paddles.
Mm-hmm.
They named their paddles. And you did something, you wasn't worried about mom and daddy necessarily.
Right.
Because teacher going to get you, then teacher going to send you to the principal if you keep it up. Principal going to get you, and then now here come mom and daddy and big mama and grandma and a few more people and stuff that's going to tag you when you get
right
out of there. You got tired of getting the red butt.
Yep.
You
yep.
know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, and to me, that's what I think is stopping parents from being parents. You know, not just that, but I wasn't friends with my parents. Yeah. We wasn't sitting around drinking
right,
and
right.
cussing and all that kind right. of mess. I cussed around my friends.
Sure.
I made sure, checked 3 or 4 times, it was distance.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I whispered what I wanted to say, the curse word. Yeah. But nowadays, I walk into these schools and stuff, DJ, and I hear these kids just this, that, and the other. And then they walking home from school. If we saw an adult, I don't care how tough we was out in the street.
Yeah.
We would cut that out.
Yeah.
Nowadays, these kids don't do it because they don't have no fear.
Right.
You know, and I told my kids, I would much rather for you to fear me right now than for you to fear the police coming at you later
sure.
on.
Sure.
My kids ain't worried about the police. They pull them over. I got my license.
Yeah.
I ain't doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody know who I am. My daddy, so and so, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. So, I mean, I just asked that question because I know a lot of parents fear disciplining their children.
Well, and like I said.
But you got to start off, in my opinion, not being their friend.
Right. No,
be their parent.
I agree. I think you be the parent, you set the boundaries. And,
right.
And like I said, I'm personally okay with parental discipline. And mm-hmm. again, where that line is, you know, it's hard to decipher, but.
Right.
You know. Swat across. I mean, I've never charged a mom or a dad whose kid mouthed at him and they slapped him across the face. I will never charge that ever. Just not going to happen. I mean, you got what you had coming.
I seen a boy, and part of his. I just recently saw that. Seen a boy. His mother was telling him, you know, he went to the store and stole a piece of candy or something like that, and the police found him or something. This little boy called his mama every B word in the book that he could think of. The police officer is standing there. I ain't going to say where this was.
Yeah.
It wasn't in Muskegon
yeah.
or I was somewhere and I seen this.
Yeah.
And the police officer looked at the mama like, what you going to do?
Yeah.
And, the mama said, well, you're standing there. Go stand in the corner or whatever the child's name was.
Yeah.
Child didn't move. Oh, you be this, you be that. Police officer said, well, I tell you what, you call your mama another name, I'm going to leave and let her handle you. Ma'am, I don't know nothing. You didn't watch this little boy
yeah.
call his mama every yeah, bee yeah, yeah, she yeah, could yeah, think, yeah, he could
yeah,
think
yeah,
of.
Yeah.
I think the police officer left, and the next time I saw that little boy, he was very polite.
I'm sure he was.
What happened? I don't know.
Right, right.
But next time I saw that little boy, he was very, 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 very polite.
How about that?
But I was, you know, I bring that up to say that, you know, sometimes I think the law, and I hope you guys, you know, while you're on this thing, could address that, you know,
sure.
address the discipline of parents, not on the show necessarily, but I'm talking about in the law where they made
sure.
the law, make the
sure.
laws at.
Sure.
Because sometimes I think that's why we have so much, disrespect like we have now in the community and killings being the way they are and stuff like that. Cause kids have no value on life.
Right.
You know, I had to fear God of my parents.
Yeah. No, me too.
I wouldn't dare. I think when I got 16 or 17, I tried my dad. And he kicked me over a deuce and a quarter, 1976, over the, not the hood, but the roof of the car. My dad was a little short man.
Yeah, yeah.
And grabbed his little knife, told me, I will cut you. I laugh about it now, but that kick hurt.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
You know? Never tried my father again.
Yeah, right, right.
Never.
Right, right.
But that's, you know, I just wonder, you know, if the law can... Sometimes I think the law has good intention, but sometimes it's overbearing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm not saying you're to agree that. That's just my personal
sure.
opinion,
no,
Muskegon.
I got it.
And we're talking about law and things like that. And he is, you know, part of the reasons why, laws can get changed because he sits on that thing and talks for the prosecutor's standpoint. So, I just thought it was something you needed to know, because I get calls about that stuff, and my first thing is always quit being your child friend.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You can't be your child friend, and he or she telling you she ain't going, he or she ain't going to school.
Yeah.
Come get me, because I'm finna knock you out, and we'll call the police, and then come get me, take me to jail, take you to foster care, and they still gonna send you to school.
Right.
So either way you're going to school.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, it's crazy, but that's about your time.
It is, yeah.
I'm sorry. I saw you looking at your
watch. Well, look, like,
I got to get out of here,
Rob. I'm already in trouble because my son's got something tonight that I got to get to. So I do have
okay.
to wrap it up.
Okay, cool. Well, anything else before we go?
No, I think, it's always, you know, it's funny because people ask me, what are you going to talk about tonight? I said, you know, I don't know. We let it roll. We just let it roll. We let it roll.
And that's the truth, people.
Yeah,
we do.
We let it roll. And we always have great conversations. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. So, hey, listen, last day of February, Fat Tuesday. March
yeah.
is right is tomorrow.
So is it.
Yeah. March 1st is tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So everybody have a safe night and a quiet night, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right.
You have just heard Straight Talk with DJ Hilson. Listen live every second and fourth Tuesday of every month. Or catch us on the web at www.1037thebeat.com.